Crime and Punishment is our topic right now on Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and our guest is Tim Head, who is the executive director of the Faith and Freedom Coalition, a member of the Coalition for Public Safety. Tim, welcome to the program.
Well, thanks so much for having me, Jerry.
And I understand that your coalition is concerned about the growing number of people who are incarcerated in America.
That's right. The Faith and Freedom Coalition joined ranks about four or five months ago with an organization called the Coalition for Public Safety, which is a pretty unusual organization, I think, in American politics these days. It's truly a bipartisan effort with four right-leaning organizations like the Faith and Freedom Coalition, Freedom Works, Americans for Tax Reform, and a group out of Texas called Right on Crime. And then three more left-leaning organizations like the ACLU, a group called the Center for American Progress, and the Leadership Conference.
You mean you found common ground with the ACLU?
Well, believe it or not, that I know it's probably not a frequent occurrence, but it does actually happen on important issues like criminal justice reform, personal liberties, over-criminalization of America. These are issues that, that, believe it or not, we really believe that Americans of all political stripes can actually see eye to eye on.
Now, some liberals have complained about how many people are incarcerated in America on the one hand, and yet on the other hand, we've seen crime dramatically decrease. It might not seem like that anecdotally, but crime has decreased since the 1990s, as the number of inmates has increased, and that should almost be obvious because a lot of the people who do the crimes are behind bars. Now, maybe there's some innocent people caught in the shuffle there, but overall, it's good to be safe, right?
Of course, of course. And really, you know, the core function of a correctional system should be first and foremost to protect the general population, of course. I think that that your point is certainly a well recognized one, that that as we have more closely monitored and ultimately captured violent criminals, violent crime, like you said, has decreased. But what we've also found is as we've kind of swept streets, we certainly have been able to incarcerate quite a few violent criminals, but we also have brought in more and more laws, which have brought in more and more people who really are engaged in what we now call crimes, but really behaviors that probably aren't a truly detriment to public safety, but just we've kind of tagged with a criminal moniker.
Tim, if you had your druthers and you could change things, what would you like to see happen, let's say, with the 2.2 million or so people who are now in prison? Separate the violent from the nonviolent. What would you like to do? Cut out some of the drug offenses so those people wouldn't even go to prison necessarily? I mean, I don't know. Just tell us.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I think that one of the things that that the Faith and Freedom Coalition and really the whole Coalition for Public Safety is trying to focus on is identifying nonviolent crimes. So the violent criminals, things that we commonly think of, certainly, murder and theft and assault, obviously rape, things like this. Our correctional facilities need to be housing those people, but some of, believe it or not, there are actually some estimates up to 300,000 federal regulatory laws that that if broken can result in jailable time. So these are like environmental crimes, or maybe more kind of white collar crimes that certainly there should be accountability and ultimately punishment for. But maybe not jailable offenses.
Hmm. Well, I understand that one in three Americans now has a criminal record. That is kind of surprising.
Which again goes back to you know, that doesn't mean that we have one in three violent criminals walking the streets. That actually means that we, in our opinion, we have an over-proliferation of really what I think many of us would probably consider administrative offenses that really are not truly violations of kind of the public safety, if you will. And so, my hope is that we can start to go through, we're actually seeing this on the federal House level and also the federal Senate level. We're seeing more of a scalpeled approach to really examining federal laws to determine is this an administrative oversight or is this truly a safety concern?
You know, there is a moral dimension that ought not to be forgotten here. The late G.K. Chesterton, well, very late because he died in 1931, I believe. But anyway, he said something like, if men won't be governed by the Ten Commandments, then they'll be governed by the 10,000 laws, which is really true. And anyway, it's almost as if any one of us theoretically could be violating some of the laws that are passed out there at any given point, without even doing anything wrong, technically. And, so I wonder if it's kind of those kinds of I wouldn't call them blue laws because that's not what we're talking about. It's the regulations of the bureaucracy that maybe that's part of the problem here.
I agree with that. An example that I sometimes cite is just over 2 months ago, the Supreme Court heard a case where a commercial fisherman fishing in the Gulf caught, I believe it was marlin, that were slightly too small. And so U.S. Fish and Wildlife actually, they came to find out that he'd caught, with nets, had caught many, many fish, had thrown some of the fish that were too small back into the sea. When he brought the catch back into port, his catch was examined. They found that he still had, out of a couple of hundred fish that he had caught, he still had some that were too small. They asked him how many more he had caught. He said, I'd caught dozens more, but I threw them back. The catching fish that were too small was just a finable offense, but because he disposed of quote unquote evidence, the other fish that he'd thrown back, he was actually found guilty of violating Sarbanes-Oxley, and so he was put in jail for it.
Oh, that's awful, especially because he was throwing them back because he was trying to apply the law. That's a terrible
example.
Thing.
Yeah, that's right. So even Justice Kagan in her opinion that she wrote on that Supreme Court opinion, she wrote basically that we believe that this is one example of what has become a kind of a serial problem of over-criminalization in the United States.
I keep liking to go back to this faith angle to this, especially since you're the executive director of the Faith and Freedom Coalition. But I think it's an important one. There's a fellow named Dr. Byron Johnson, who is a professor at Baylor University, used to be at the University of Pennsylvania and also at Princeton. But he wrote a book called More God, Less Crime. And I think that's so true. Even in prison, sometimes if some of the inmates get converted, it can change them from the inside out. Of course, there is also jailhouse religion, which can be phony or it can be only temporary until they get out. And then they're back to the usual things, unfortunately. But talk about the faith factor. I think it's an important one.
Well, I did all of my study at Baylor University, and actually know Dr. Johnson well. Think highly of him, and I'm familiar with that book and the contents there.
Super.
One of the interesting things that we're seeing is, we're of course for decades, literally for centuries now, Christians across the world have been engaged in, basically in prison ministry, which not just recently, but even even in Scripture, we're specifically urged even to visit the prisoner and those who are being being held in captivity. So
Hebrews 13.
That's right, and even Jesus himself saying, you know, when you visited someone in prison, you actually were visiting me, right? But interestingly, what we're even seeing is some state correctional institutions are starting to integrate in the state of Louisiana, also in the state of Texas. They're actually offering seminary classes to those that choose to be a part. After you graduate with a degree, and actually just this past weekend, the graduation ceremony was held in one correctional facility in Texas, where there were roughly 40 graduates who finish with a degree, and then if they are basically behaving at an adequate and demonstrated level, they can be reassigned to another prison within the correctional facility, in essence to assist chaplains as inmate assistant chaplains. The same basic construct in Louisiana. And one more example I'll give is really interesting. For about the last 3 years in Kansas, there's a very elaborate prison visitation program, mentorship program that churches will actually send mentors in. And what they're starting to demonstrate now after 3 years of data, when inmates re-enter, because they, one, have had outside contact for those, you know, 2 or 3 years of visitation, and now also have the same relationship they can connect with when they re-enter society, the recidivism rate is a fraction of overall recidivism rate. So faith-based programs are actually really, really effective when they're done properly.
I agree with you, but the irony of, you know, the ACLU being involved, or that you found any kind of common ground with them related to prison reform, is amazing, because a lot of times the ACLU and Americans United for the Separation of Church and State and Religion, Freedom from Religion Foundation, groups like this, they will often fight tooth and nail even for, you know, against different programs like that because, oh, you know, this violates the separation of church and state and so forth. We did a story years ago for the D. James Kennedy Television Ministries, and I produced it myself, going to Houston where they had this Chuck Colson branch in a Houston prison. And it did cause a lot of the inmates who went through the initiative, I forgot the exact name of it, but anyway, as they studied more and more of God's word, they also had outside mentors, and their recidivism rate went down to something like 8%. And I asked somebody involved in the ministry, how come there was 8% that would even go back into crime after they got out? And I know that's a very low recidivism rate, but he said the 8% that he found, usually there was some sort of addiction to cocaine. There was usually a drug component to it. That's why drugs are really, they are linked to other other crimes and so forth. But your comments about that, I mean, your comment about the anti-Christian agenda and lawsuits and so forth by some of the liberal legal groups to kind of keep religion and God even out of the prisons.
Well, you know, I think that... in terms of partnering with groups with you know unusual maybe partnerships like the Coalition for Public Safety and some of the left leaning groups and that I think that among other things what we're seeing is that really in a lot of ways we're kind of at such a crisis point that you know the programs that I alluded to in Kansas, Texas, and Louisiana are voluntary programs and so the inmates you know certainly are not compelled to be a part of those, and you know the reality is that there is statistically valid demonstration of success there, and so I think because we're in such a perilous situation, both financially as well as in public safety, then I think a lot of people are just kind of saying, you know, basically whatever works, let's give it a shot, and and so. In our conversations, you know, kind of within our meetings within the Coalition for Public Safety, we're actually finding some real interesting, you know, synergy, and that's an overused word, but on some of these issues, just to say, well, let's just kind of get the ball rolling and see if we can find things that are experiencing success instead of purely just having kind of ideological partisan echo chambers out there.
All right. Excellent. Tim Head, again, Executive Director of the Faith and Freedom Coalition, thanks so much for being with us. What website would you refer people to?
Well, you can always check out the coalitionforpublicsafety.org, and then and certainly Faith and Freedom Coalition is just ffcoalition.com. But a lot of really great information at that Coalition for Public Safety website.
Tim Head, thanks again. God bless you. All the best.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.